that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome on in. Here on this Wednesday evening, my name is Dan Roach, in for Tony Maserati. Here on 98.5, the Sports Hubs, the Baseball Reporters Show. Glad to have you with us for the next hour. Sean Silver, who I was just with two mornings ago, filling in for Toucher and Rich, is here as well.
Fast friends, Dan.
Yes. Yeah. Very nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Welcome.
Thanks.
And this,
everything is awesome.
Yeah, I know. We got to start coming up with some promos right there, too, Jimmy. You know?
Everything is awesome.
The heck with third base. If they don't pick up another reliever or two, Mike, they're done. There's sort of short little promos that Tony Maz can run for the Baseball Reporters. Do you know what I mean?
Perfect.
Yeah. I'm an old Todd. You know, Bryce Harper being interviewed during a game, Mike?
Bryce Harper, put your hair away.
Exactly.
So that everything kind of is cool when you're part of the team.
Everything is awesome. Yes, when you're part of the team. All right, welcome in. 617-779-0985 is the number. We're here for the next hour. And we'll just let you fire away with your thoughts and comments on the All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby, the Red Sox. I'm going to give you some initial thoughts here, and then we'll dig into what you'd like to dig in. We could talk a little bit about the second half for this team, the proverbial second half, although they're 89 games in. But the Red Sox sit in pretty good position. If you ask at the beginning of the season where you'd like to be, first place in the AL East by 3.5 games over the Yankees and Tampa Bay is a pretty good sign for this ball club, and I think things are getting better when it comes to especially the way the team is built and that starting pitching. Now, can they use more offense? Sure. But I think this team, Dave Dombrowski, built this particular team around starting pitching. After what we saw in the Cleveland series and what Cleveland did in the playoffs last year, I think you saw an upgrade with Chris Sale, and we've all seen what he can do, and I think you're starting to see good things from the guys behind them, and David Price in particular. Porcello had his best start of the year, I thought, or one of them, over the weekend. And then you've got Erod coming off the rehab start. So they're in pretty good shape when coming out of the chute here. And we'll know a lot more even next week after they play four games with the Yankees on Sunday. So that's the start of that. I have a bunch of thoughts I have to get out here. One is I texted last night with Terry Francona.
Really?
Yeah, and he said that he's getting stronger.
Great.
So that is good news. It looks like hopefully he'll be able to join the Indians on Friday going forward, which is really cool. Did you see what they did last night as far as pregame? They brought a muscle-bound guy with Tito's head, a big picture of it into the locker room.
That was totally Tito's body.
Absolutely. Although he swims. He's a swimmer, so he's always been in pretty good shape, but no one near that, though. You know what I mean? So.
He's always liked Popeye. We know that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Good to hear that on Terry Francona. Brad Mills, or as Tito would call Millsy, filled in admirably and got a win. So that's good. And the other thing is, too, I just got note from the family and tweeted it out, and the family tweeted it as well, that Pete Frates is home after enduring infections and things like that. Was at Mass General Hospital for several weeks. Everyone knows the story of what happened, what the reports were. But the good thing is he's home. He's happy, and he's, you know, his brother Andrew joined, sat down with him yesterday, said that he'll be home watching Red Sox baseball. So
that's
good news number two. The other thing is, so here's my questions for you. And again, 617-779-0985 is the number. We're here until 7 o'clock. One is, did you enjoy the Home Run Derby in the All-Star game, and why? Did you enjoy one better than the other? Feel free to chime in with that. Now, second part of that question is, did your kids or do you know of kids that enjoyed the Home Run Derby and the All-Star game as well? Because many people are talking about there's the old staunchy group of baseball fans, and then there's what's going to go on, what's happening for the younger generation. Are they not paying attention? They're watching their phones and video and things like that. Are they still interested? Did they watch the Home Run Derby? Did they watch the All-Star game? I forget, one of the business reporters tweeted out on Monday, I think, saying that on the open market, tickets for the Home Run Derby were going for higher than tickets for the All-Star game, which I found fascinating. And the All-Star, the Home Run Derby was fun. I mean, that was cool. That straight out of the chute, Sanchez and Stanton was a good battle.
Mm-hmm.
To watch Aaron Judge and then to see video of him with, what, Fresno State in 2009 winning a college Home Run Derby as well, that same type of swing, That was cool to watch. Good for the game. Justin Bohr, the emotion that he was showing was fun. And then last night was a blast. I mean, we know the score, 2-1. We know what happened. But I thought early on, Fox put up a key, one of their keys to the games, and it was home runs versus strikeouts, what we would see. And that's basically what you saw last night. There were a lot of strikeouts, a lot of great pitching, and then a home run decided it after Yadier tied it with a home run. And then we saw Robinson Cano deliver the big blow. So that was the cool part of the game. And, you know, the Red Sox was sailing Betts, and the Betts gunning down Arenado was awesome. Awesome. That's a great throw.
Talk about a game that's really descriptive of where baseball is today. You know, home runs, lots of Ks.
Yes.
I mean, I think if you were to look at the statistics, the home runs, you know, if you average it out or you project it out over the course of the season, we're looking at the highest amount of home runs there's been in a while. And certainly the strikeouts. You know, 200 strikeouts for a player as a batter, not really a crazy idea anymore. And Aaron Judge, for all the home runs he's hitting, certainly hurtling toward that 200 strikeout plateau.
Yes, right, Rob Deere-like.
Rob Deere, Pete Incaviglia, right? Whomever.
And but that was kind of the theme for that. And then there were so many things to get going. And my theory, the way I look at it and thinking about this, is Bryce Harper. Everything was make the game fun again.
Mm-hmm.
With Bryce Harper, and I thought we saw a lot of that from baseball last night, and that was good to see. It was a good All-Star game. Everyone's talking about, you know, what happened. I thought it started with the red carpet. You know, people saying Mookie was maybe the best dressed, and Bryce Harper was dressed like Don Johnson to celebrate the city of Miami, and that's fun. That shows the personality. And then as a kid, I always loved the introductions. I just thought that was my favorite part. You're struggling, you know, you stay awake, try to stay awake for as much of the game as a young kid. But then, you know, when you hear the, you know, Carl Yastrzemski and you see him tip a cap, or Reggie Smith, and, you know, and then as you got older with Freddie Lynn and Jim Rice and everything else, I always have loved the introductions. I think it's a cool part, and your city is always represented by those guys. And it's just cool. And I thought it was bizarre. The fact that it was Wade Davis as the only Cub who was after the Cubs did the unthinkable a year ago. He was the only Cub that was on the field.
And lost the game.
And he wasn't with the Cubs last year when they won the World Series. So that was kind of strange, but different. And I thought the Latin players going into the Hall of Fame that are Hall of Famers, that was cool, throwing out the first pitch. And then one of the things that you always hear is people get all upset with, why do players complain about how many All-Star games are not making the All-Star games, who got snubbed and everything else. Well, it's important when someone is introduced as a former player or something. It says Rod Carew, 18-time All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Roberto Clemente, 15-time All-Star. So to me, when players complain about it or others complain about the snubs, it's important. That's how you get identified when you're done playing. Like, you go to Cooperstown, you go into the plaque room. The first thing on every single plaque is Sean Silver, 12-time All-Star, you know, X amount of gold gloves and everything else.
What a career.
Yeah, I mean, that's the important thing. I mean, to me, I won an Emmy Award.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped entering after I won one. Only because when I die, it says
you can put Emmy
Dan
Award
Roach,
winning.
Emmy Award winning sportscaster. That's the only reason I wanted to win one. Because I don't, you know, there's so much that goes into those awards and judging and everything else. But that's kind of like how you want to be remembered. As a baseball player at the highest level, that's how you want to be remembered. So it is important to these guys, and it should be.
Well, it's certainly interesting, and we saw it a lot, particularly in this market, with Manny Ramirez having about 9 or 10 grandparents die around the All-Star break. Pedro Martinez not showing up, you know, for various reasons. It just didn't seem like, oh, the selection's an honor, but, you know, I'm not going to go. And certainly we're in the era you described, and you know, our ages are slightly different. But, you know, when we were kids and what we saw, your exposure to baseball was much more limited. And, you know, you had a game of the week, or, you know, you had Sunday Night Baseball coming into play, but you didn't have the interleague. And you certainly didn't have the interleague series going on all the time, all through the year,
right,
like they do now. That they have the 15 and 15 in the two leagues. So the exposure is different for fans. I wonder, you know, if you're a kid nowadays, if you'd even care with all the different things that are going on, if you get that same kind of feeling about seeing the superstars from the other league. Because I know I did. I only saw these guys on baseball cards.
Yep.
You know, so. I wonder
well,
about that.
You know what baseball cards are now today is the video games.
Yeah.
You know, we had baseball cards and it was everything. You collected them. You had the different teams and everything else. that's what you do now as a kid, is you play video games and you play Bryce Harper's on your team, or you make an all-star team. So that's how the kids identify it. So
yeah.
I still think it's got to be cool for them to see Bryce Harper, you know, to see the different players on different teams.
I'd like to hope so. I mean, I am getting a few texts in here about the subject of the All-Star game versus the Derby.
Yep.
And it seems, at least from what I'm reading, that the Derby was definitely got the kids excited. And the All-Star game was on too late, said one of the texters from 781.
Well, but see, it was late, but everything's late now. But it started right after a little at 8. And,
yeah,
and you,
it's not like this is a 9 o'clock,
the gist of it,
9:15
right?
NBA Finals yes. tip here.
And the game
you know?
Ended at like 11:30, right around there. But yeah. you got the gist of mm-hmm. what was going on. So if you're a kid, you could stay up for the majority. Plus, it's summer.
Yeah, you're on summer break.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that was lesser a part of it. It's just, are the kids attracted to the game itself? And we can talk about that as well.
Certainly hope
617-779-0985 is the number. To me, it's by far the best All-Star game. It blows away all three combined.
Yep.
We can get into that, too. We can get into the Red Sox, your thoughts on the second half. Dan, John, stay with us. We'll get to you at 617-779-0985. It's beautiful. It's summer. Cape League games going on. The North Shore Navigators, Worcester, the Bravehearts are going at it. Double-A, Triple-A, the All-Star games are tonight. This is like a beautiful time of year if you're a baseball fan. Ah! I know it's downtime and everything else, but gear up, get ready for the second half, breathe in a little bit, get down to the Cape if you want, and have a little bit of fun. There you go, Jimmy. All right, we'll take a break, come right back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Marvin Jones Jr., wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. You know about my reception. You know about my touchdowns. But today, with Kumho Tires, we're all going on track. Being reliable for my team means the world to me. Balance is the key to life, and it's the key to being a receiver. I'm ready to stamp my name. Gotten better and better every year in my career, and it's no different this year.
Looking for better traction and control this season and for all seasons? Then pick up a set of Kumho Tires for an exceptional and reliable ride. Choose your tire and find your dealer at KumhoTireUSA.com. Kumho Tire, better always.
How do you gauge the greatness of a Mercedes-Benz SUV? By its ability to carry cargo or to carry on a legacy? Its show of strength or its sign of intelligence? The ability to cross harsh terrain or to break new ground? Or do you gauge greatness by the exceptional offer you got on your Mercedes-Benz SUV? Come in this Thanksgiving week for opportunities abounding. There has never been a better time to obtain greatness than right now. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Most amazing baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're back. 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazz will be back, I believe, tomorrow. I don't know if I was supposed to give that away because Big Jim Murray teased it. We're trying to get Lobster Boy Night over at Fenway Park. We'll be in touch with Sam Kennedy on that for Big Jim Murray, too, because he had it at Topps Field Fair. So we'll see if he can, Lobster Boy can throw out the first pitch, although he might not be capable. All in jest, folks.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Okay.
You ever done that, Rochie, throwing out the first pitch?
No, I did one last year at the Yarmouth-Dennis Whitey Red Sox Cape League game.
Throw a strike?
Yeah, and I got back, and the guy with the catcher walks out, and he shakes my hand. He goes, boy, I didn't think you had that in you. Because it is nerve-wracking, but you just got to throw over his head. You aim up over his head, and it's fine.
Top of the mound or in front of it?
I was kind of like on top, midway, almost a little bit in front of it.
Mid-mound.
You know what I mean? I just wanted to make sure I just threw a strike, and
so
it was fine.
You were thrown from Carter Capp's territory, basically,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. So it was good. All right, so we're going to get to the phone calls here. My name is Dan Roach, work at WBZ-TV. We're here until 7 o'clock. Sean Silver is on headlines contributing as well, and I saw someone drop off. I feel bad, so let's get to your phone calls. Home Run Derby versus All-Star Game, thoughts, kids, what did they look at? But also just what you thought of last night's game, and we have more to talk about with that, with the whole Bryce Harper, and I thought George Springer, the kid from UConn, I was hoping someone would get hit to him while he was being interviewed by Joe Buck. Just little cool things like that. I thought it was fun. All right, let's go to John, and then we'll go to Tony. And your calls are welcome at 617-779-0985. And I'm going to – do I click on this, Jimmy? I can do that. I think I'm capable. John. Hello, John. You're on the Baseball Reporters with Dan Roach and Sean Silver.
Well done, Roachy. Well done. All right. Check it out. I'm like your quintessential casual fan. So when things like opening day – the all-star break, and the playoffs come around. You know, that's when my senses perk up for baseball. I may catch maybe like 20 full games throughout the whole season, you know what I mean, between work and family and what have you. But the home run derby is great because, I mean, it cuts through all the nonsense of a baseball game. You watch a baseball game basically to watch guys, you know, either pitch well or smash it over the wall, and that just cuts through all the chase, just one after another, ball over the wall. It's great. It never gets old year after year. I love it.
Sure, but I think you can only do that once, right? I mean, that's
Once a year. Yeah, exactly. I mean, all the all-star breaks, and I wish, you know, football did a little something, you know, closer to what basketball and, you know, and baseball do. But, yeah, once a year, you know, that's good. That's all you need. And then you get back to the, you know, the build-up for the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like you thinking on that, too. And as long as you're okay with that, because there's really no, I mean, I think, you know, the league that the Navigators play in, they think they decide games if it goes too far with a home run derby. I think that's kind of how they're doing it. It's almost like in the NHL with you do a shootout. But, yeah, to me, you can only use that once. The other thing that we're talking about is that if the games go too long, you know, they ran out of arms in 2002 with Selig. That started the whole thing. They're saying to go to the international tiebreakers like they did in the World Baseball Classic is put runners on second and third or runner on second to start the 10th inning or the 11th inning. That would be kind of fun, too, so I wouldn't mind seeing something like that. Hey, thanks very much for the phone call. We'll continue. Oh, someone else just dropped out. Sorry about that. Let's go to Dan. You're up next here on the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am very good. I just wanted to say it. Like, I was actually really excited to watch this home run derby. I remember back, I actually got to go to the 99 home run derby. And, I mean, even as a kid, I knew most of the guys that were in the home run derby, whereas I feel like now it's kind of like, even I'm a big baseball fan, but I don't even know. I mean, not a lot of people probably know who Charlie Blackman is or Miguel Sano. But yet I still know who Jeremy Burnitz was versus Ken Griffey Jr.
Nice. Or so, Dante Bichette and all those fellas. Yeah.
And I loved it. But I was going to say, and Aaron Judge, really watching him, it seemed to kind of bring, it reminded me of when I was watching Ken Griffey Jr. And it was just, it was someone to root for. I mean, I'm a big Red Sox fan, but it was nice to see him win and come back, and he seems like he has good attitude, and I think that's someone to cheer for rather than someone like kind of like Bryce Harper, who kind of comes off as, you know, like a show-off type of thing. But
yep, no, I think you make a good point, Dan, and I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. Yeah, I kind of look at that and say, you know, Aaron Judge was the face of the All-Star game, and that's kind of how it was. And I think Ken Griffey Jr. is a good comp right there because of the smile and just being happy and everything else. And you just watched him.
Your kind of player, Dan.
Yeah, but he was like Gronk. You know what I mean? Like, Judge is like Gronk, except he's, you know, he's a little bit different as far as some of the antics, I guess, of Gronk. But that doesn't make it not on the field. That's what's kind of fun part about it is he's just this massive individual that just kind of blows you away when you're, like, watching him. And you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, his swing is ridiculous.
It's like Paul Bunyan up there.
Yes, exactly. And it's just like, it's like Herman Munster. For those of you that remember the Monsters, when he played baseball way back when, that's what he looked like. So that was pretty cool, too. Am I doing this wrong here, Jimmy? Did I just lose another caller?
Probably.
Yeah, I keep screwing up. Sorry, folks, if you want to call back. I'm not, you know, it's Sean Silver's fault for not doing the phones properly.
Agreed. Okay. 617-779-0985.
There we go. Let's go to Tony. In Medford. Tony, you're up next on the Baseball Reporters Show. Dan Roach, Sean Silver here on this Wednesday night, filling in for Tony Maz. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. Yourself?
Pretty well. Just driving in this thunderstorm right now.
Oh, yeah. Where are you?
I'm heading down to, I'm in the North Shore.
Okay. Yeah, it heard some of the nasty storms. Well, welcome to summer. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just want to talk about, I haven't seen the home run derby in the last couple of years, but I thought this home run derby that passed was awesome with the energy that was with the crowd, with the home runs going, you know, 10 miles.
And the time limit. The time limit has changed the home run derby as well. You know, that's another big thing, where guys aren't going for 10, 15 minutes, and then it becomes a farce. That's been part of it, too.
Right, you still get the 20 home runs a round, which is pretty good. You know, you had Hamilton a couple years ago with 28, but his round took, like, what, an hour maybe?
I know, that's what it felt like. You're right.
Right. But I just wanted to add that even though the home run derby was great, I kind of feel like they should add maybe like a little bit more competitions where maybe like put the fastest runners to run around the bases, who can run the fastest, or maybe take like the top three catchers and see who can throw the most accurate throw to second base, put a couple targets out there. I don't know, I think maybe that would just add a little bit more make a little bit more hype to the home run derby when it comes around. Kind of like what the NBA does with the slam dunk contest. You know, they had the 3-point contest before and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I also just wanted to say that the All-Star game was also pretty cool, too. You know, with Nelson Cruz taking a picture with West and Bryce Harper and Mike Dubb. I just want to know your guys' thoughts on all that stuff.
Yeah, have a good one. Yeah, thank you very much, Tony. And, you know, we can talk about that when we were, you know, on the other side of a break here. But I will say it was fun, you know, and again, you're trying to get there where baseball is fun again for everybody, for the young guys and everything else. And to me, it was fun, but also fun from the sense of the players themselves. Like, you watch a guy like Molina, and you just get excited as you watch him play the game. The way that he plays the game, it's just fun. And he can bring that out when they're not playing for the World Series home field advantage. When they do the picture taken with Nelson Cruz, who'd have thought he'd be the guy to do that with Joe West? That was spontaneous and fun, and those are the kind of things that I think attract all audiences to a game, not just the young guys, but, man, you're just like, wow. You know, look at what they're doing. They're joking around, and then look at Molina rounding the bases, high-fiving Lindor, and things like that. That's the cool part of the game that maybe we start to lose of, and because it gets too intense at times, and it's too long and things like that. That stuff, bring it on, as far as I'm concerned. And we'll talk more about that when we continue. Mike and Steve will get to you as well. 617-779-0985. This is the Baseball Reporters. Dan Roach filling in for Tony Maz. Sean Silver here as well. We give you headlines that we're getting now with you there, Sean, and then we'll be right back. Stay with us here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This holiday, switch to Cricket Wireless and get a free LG Fortune with no annual contract. Cricket Wireless, something to smile about.
Requires number ported and service activation minimum $30 per month. First month service charge and in-store activation fee up to $25 due at sale. Tax and restrictions apply. One-time fees may apply. See store for details.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the winter event.
The Mercedes-Benz winter event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
From the field. You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And we're back. 6:37 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Dan Roach in for Tony Maz. Tony will be back at the helm here tomorrow evening with the Baseball Reporters from 6 to 7 o'clock each and every night during the baseball season. Your calls are welcome at 617-779-0985. Sean Silver in here with me as well, and we're going to go right through these phone calls. I see you all there waiting. You ever hear the Joe West? Joe West was a part of the picture taking last night with Nelson Cruz and taking, getting Yadi Molina to take the picture.
Cowboy Joe West.
You ever hear the Ortiz West story?
I don't know about that one.
All right, quickly, I'll tell you that this is out of one. I forget where I saw the article, but Joe West, not easily offended, often self-deprecating. He recently told the story of a Minnesota Twins rookie whom he thanked during spring training in 1997 for replacing West as the ugliest man in the game. That rookie player was David Ortiz, and Ortiz kept that incident buried in his until his last appearance. Now, so with West calling balls and strikes last July, Ortiz told West that after he retired at the end of 2016, West would become the quote-unquote ugliest man in the game once again.
Wow.
How cool.
Reassumed the mantle. We couldn't think of anybody in between. I mean, Willie McGee's long retired.
Oh, yeah. There's been many, but yeah. But just, I love the fact that David kept that until he retired. They never forget.
That's a classic.
You know, they're like your wife. They never, ever forget. All right. We're talking about the All-Star Game Home Run Derby. Sox, your thoughts? You can get that in, too, although I'm sure Tony will cover that Thursday and Friday as the Sox and Yankees open up a crucial, not crucial, but a big four-game series. Starting on Friday night, the Red Sox with a 3.5-game lead over the Yankees in Tampa. I want to see Pat Neshek. I think he'd be perfect for this team. Third base, not as big a priority. Would I take a Frazier? Sure, as long as you're not giving up much, because they've already given up the farm. So those are kind of the things that we're looking at, too. I'm happy with Marrero and Lynn. I love Marrero. I love everything he brings to the game. A lot of the little things as well, but we can get to that later. Let's go right back to your phone calls, though. We'll begin with, and I'm going to go in order here, folks, so hang in there because I'm going to get to Steve, Jeff, Frank, and all of you. But first, Mike, you're up next here on the Baseball Reporters, Dan Roach and Sean Silver. Hi, Mike.
Hi. How are you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. I'm a 50-year-old guy. I don't like to say it, but I guess I'm an old baseball fan now. I don't mind watching a three-hour-plus baseball game. I guess I'm in the minority now. But I just want to tell you why I think the All-Star game is kind of not as important anymore, or at least not as important to me. Now, when I was a kid, there wasn't a lot of baseball on TV. I'm talking about pre-Nesson days. You couldn't even see all the Red Sox games.
Sure.
You could hardly ever see any National League baseball unless it was on the Joe Garagiola game of the week on Saturday.
Yep.
So when the All-Star game rolled around, that was the opportunity to see all those guys, you know, Mike Schmidt and Pete Rose and Johnny Bench, all the guys that you could never see. It was an event for a baseball fan to see these you know, superstars that you never get to see. But now with just so much baseball on TV and interleague play every day, it just doesn't make a difference anymore. Even to someone like myself who would sit through a 3.5-hour baseball game, I don't care. The All-Star game, it's just not as important. And back in those days, the two sides wanted to beat each other. You didn't see them taking selfies and all this other crap out on the field back in those days. It's just not the same. It's kind of like a circus instead of a game. That's just my take on it.
I hear you. And Mike, thank you very much for the phone call. I get what you're saying from where you are, your age and everything, too. The oversaturation, the interleague play, Sean Silver alluded to that earlier. But I will say this also is that, you know, hey, I don't mind that stuff. And with the whole, it feels like a circus and these guys know each other and everything. That's the way the game's evolved. And part of that is the money they make. You know, these guys aren't out there making a living and having to, you know, give everything they have and hate each other just in order to make enough money to survive and keep moving on as a family. Now it's just so much money that they have fun and they talk to each other. That I'm fine with that. I'm over that. I don't mind seeing that. And I also want to see the fun that they're having. And I think in an All-Star game, that's a case in point. That's a great time to showcase that and kind of say they're human beings. And, you know, I think it's a big part of it. I don't mind it at all.
I agree that the All-Star game is for having fun. Now, maybe not too much fun. I mean,
but they got serious when they needed to get serious. Cano
we've seen
stepped
what,
in.
Seen what the
know?
NBA All-Star game has turned into.
Yes.
Their version of fun is just half-court alley-oops and no defense.
Yes.
But, you know, back in the day, when you think about the All-Star games and the sort of reverence that you and the caller were describing, when Mike Schmidt comes out and tips his cap or whomever, there was really a reverence from the fans in that day, and they didn't have to do anything gimmicky at all. I mean, granted, they didn't have selfies in those days, but they didn't even need to bring out Morgana the Kissing Bandit. It was just, look at this guy. This guy's awesome. He's on my baseball cards.
Right.
I might have a poster on the wall of him, and I never see him.
And
nowadays, you kind of got to go that extra mile, particularly with the Snapchat generation, to attract him to the game.
And one thing that I'll always take with me is from last year's All-Star game with David Ortiz. And it wasn't the game, it was afterwards. And David held a press conference, and it was jammed with Spanish-speaking reporters and people as well as us. And the press conference ended, and David did not want to leave. He just kept talking, and especially to his fellow compadres in the Dominican Republic.
Mm.
They talked baseball. You know, that's when the whole tampering Encarnacion and everything and all that BS came up about he was tampering. But he was asking questions and talking, and David just, he was sitting on his porch talking baseball. And I don't want to sound here like staunchy and everything else, but if you watched, who were the most engaging players yesterday with their personalities? It's a lot of the guys that come out of the Dominican Republic where they're born and raised, and everything is that one sport. It's like when you go to Canada and you talk hockey. You know, they have stores like Costco and BJ's full of hockey equipment. Like, that's their lives. So that's maybe a little bit different. Then when you hear Ortiz talk to some of his country people, it's amazing, though. Like, the passion for the game is just fantastic.
You talk about the Dominican.
And that's not there here in a lot of the sports.
You talk about the Dominican, and you see a player. I know Yasiel Puig is Cuban, but you see a guy like him, and obviously the sport played differently there as well than it is here. He got here and started, you know, bending everybody's noses out of shape with the kind of exuberance that he brought to the game. So he got in the crosshairs of the Cardinals. I'm sure the Atlanta Braves didn't particularly like playing against Yasiel Puig. And it's there's that. I don't know how you feel about, say, the code of the game.
Well, see, that's different from what from the love of the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that there are so many cardinal rules now, and it's some that are broken and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's maybe the problem is when you don't respect the game or respect your opponent. Last night, there was this whole selfie thing, and there was the talking to Bryce Harper and yeah. Springer in the outfield, and there was the home run and the high five with Lindor. There was no disrespecting the game. Or disrespecting your opponent. Did anybody talk about the home run trot that Cano had? Or
no.
Molina, other than the high five and talking to Lindor, which was fun? No.
You're right.
There was no bat flip from Cano and everything else. That was nothing.
So you're on the record anti-bat flip.
I don't mind the bat flip as long as it's not directed at another team.
Yeah.
As long as you're not... Was it Puig who stood there and watched it? And no, the Puig one, I didn't mind. I thought that was fine. What bothers me is... Like, when you flip the bat...
Batista.
When you stare at your opponents and talk trash to your opponents,
yeah.
don't. You know, you want to point to your dugout, point to your team, but don't point to the pitcher. Don't look at the pitcher. And for some reason now, guys strike out, and the first thing they do is look at the pitcher to see if they get any reaction.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Like, it's your fault.
Walk back to the dugout and take it. It's not a big deal, but don't try to incite something. That's the stuff that bothers me. All right, I'm going to take another call. I know we're going to take a break, Jimmy, but I'm having too much fun. Steve.
Hey, Roach, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Hey, before I get to the comparison last night, I'm surprised you missed a key Yarmouth-Dennis matchup last night between Chris Sale and Buster Posey.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. I like that.
I think you'd like that, Roach.
I love it.
Hey, I'm a baseball fan for as long as you can remember, and I get it that, you know, this is a generational thing now. I love the Home Run Derby. I thought it was exciting. And last night was good, too. Granted, we are in an era where it's social media-driven, and you try and do whatever you can to get the kids. I like the Harper stuff and everything. I couldn't understand why Fox sent A-Rod out there, and I couldn't understand the whole, you know...
I hated that.
Talking to the guy right in the batting on-deck circle. That was a little head-scratcher to me, at least.
Yep, I'm with you on that.
But, you know, I mean, I think last night was a little bit of experimentation by Fox in doing some of these things to try with, like... get to do to get these kids involved, but it's unfortunate. You know, you guys mentioned the DR, the kids from the DR and all that. The guys growing up in the Latin America and the Dominican who were playing the ball are almost like the hockey players back in the day who had to skate at like 5-4 o'clock in the morning. Now
yep.
these guys work their butts off to get here, so they appreciate the game more. I feel like, you know, the American players, maybe they were coddled or something through their, you know, growing up and everything, and maybe they're a little different than these guys, but it was a good game last night. I watched it up until the end, but I don't know. You won't see any Pete Roses barreling down catchers anymore. It's a different game, and it's trying to be entertainment. I loved the Joe West pitcher. I thought that was hilarious last night.
I love Joe West's reaction. He was like,
"Oh my god!" He's like, "You want to take a picture of me?"
But then the best part was he took a mask off. All right, here we go. You know what I mean? It's just like, all right, let's do this. Let's get it over with. And at first, he was like blown away by it. So that was kind of bizarre to me. But I'm with you. I thought the A-Rod thing was awkward. I was like, "Get off the field! Get off the field! You don't belong there." You know, that was sacred ground to me. I didn't appreciate that. But the rest of the stuff, I thought it was cool. And again, it goes, you're experimenting. So that didn't work, but this worked. Mm-hmm. You know, and I enjoyed that kind of stuff. I thought the natural, the talk with Joe Buck about Dak Prescott was awesome. Like, that was just wow. And I wanted it to continue, you know. And then when Springer was out there, I wanted him to get a ball hit to him. Because he was like, oh, you know, he kept trying to pay attention and everything else. And I don't know if you noticed this either, but I think it was Harper. They talked about what's your pre-routine before you get ready. And you could already see his pre-routine. He would be talking. All of a sudden, you'd see Heron pound his fist into his glove and then set up and go. And they asked him, they said, that was what it was. Pound your fist into the glove and set up and go. So that was cool, too. So I thought it was awesome. I thought it was, of course, everyone make fun of me. So I had a good time watching the All-Star game.
Dan, I enjoyed it, too.
All right.
So that makes two of us.
Okay. Dan, I enjoyed it also.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Jay. All right. Nick will be miserable
That's
when
a consensus.
It comes in. If you want to complain about it and hate it and everything, Nick Cattles will take your calls on that for four
From
hours.
The buzzard's nest.
You know, right. Yes. He'll just be an angry man for 4 hours, 5 hours.
He's getting worse than Jones.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So, you know, but it's fun. It makes it fun.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
ho, ho. You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the Winter Event.
The Mercedes-Benz Winter Event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.